Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here. Ciao.
Ciao, bello.
Ciao, bello, Matthew. I'm back from Italy. And I was gone for 2 weeks to Italy.
Yep.
And it was incredible, life-changing, and the best vacation I ever had with my wife, Sylvia.
That's awesome.
And so if I'm speaking with just a little bit of an Italian accent, then you'll understand why and just
bear
with
me. Bene così.
Yeah, and Matt is Italian and speaks Italian, and he'll correct me. But Matthew, I'm a little nervous, man.
Why is that?
I think we've got competition.
That's good, though.
It is good?
Yeah.
Okay, so I shouldn't be worried that Nikki's here and she's got a brand new podcast that sounds really good?
Only if you compete with her.
Okay, yeah. No, I don't think we are. I think we're taking a little kind of different roads, Nikki.
Yeah.
Okay, and if I pronounce your last name Cincinnati, would that be at all close?
It's very close.
Yay!
Yes, it's actually Cincinnati.
Oh, okay. Very good. Now they know how to pronounce it correctly. And you have a relatively brand new podcast on when you and I got connected through somebody. And we know, as we were talking before the show, we know a lot of the same somebodies and love them. They said, oh my gosh, you have to have Nikki on the show. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing, what your vision is, and how it's been going.
Yeah. It started when I was in the truck with my husband on the way to the bank, and he had Joe Rogan on. And the guest on his show that day was Adam Curry, the one who started podcasting. He was an MTV VJ, and his first podcast was No Agenda. And so he was talking about these hyper-local podcasts. And I was like, huh, that's really interesting. Very cool. And God just kept putting it in my mind, putting it on my heart. And it was towards the end of the school year, April probably. And my main ministry that I'm involved with wraps up the first week of May. And I didn't really have a lot of plans for the summer. So God just kept putting this on my heart. And I was like, okay, God, if you want me to do this, I'm going to email Adam Curry.
Of course.
Yeah. That's what I would do. You know, and see if anything comes of it. I got an email back almost immediately on how to do a hyperlocal podcast.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, God, I'm just floating along on whatever you have for us this summer. And just, he just kept giving me one step. And so now my daughter-in-law calls it the crazy antics of Nikki's summer. And I just planned on having 12 episodes this summer, and we're about to release our fifth episode, I believe.
Nice.
And yeah, so it's just something that God's doing, and I'm just really here along for the ride. And yeah, it's been amazing what God can do when you're just like, okay, God, whatever you want to do. It's called Heartbeat of East County. And our focus is to just highlight churches and ministries and even some concerns, which could fall into the political category, but of East County. And my home church, First Baptist Church of El Cajon, is right in the middle of El Cajon.
Literally.
Literally right in the middle of El Cajon. And so that's where it started. Also, we just finished a brand new youth building that had this little office in it. Okay. And I was like, that could actually be a cool little podcast studio. And
like
it was just
did.
Another little step that God said, yep, here you go. And so what I really want are some people in my circle of influence have just quit going to church altogether. Mm. And there are some great churches with a lot to offer. And it's great to be in a accountability and hearing the word and just to be around other believers. And if you get out of the habit of that, you forget how beneficial it is. So I just wanted to remind people of that, and also just bring awareness to some different ministries that people don't even know about.
Yeah.
We have one big concern in El Cajon is the homeless population. Yeah. And so I wanted to bring some light to that. And my guest next week will be from the East County Transitional Living Center that used to be called Set Free.
Sure.
And so,
who do you have coming on?
Oh gosh.
Is it Julie
Evan.
Hayden?
No, it's Evan.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but
they do such incredible work.
Amazing. Oh, such incredible work. And so I wanted to highlight that since they're not called Set Free anymore, maybe they're off people's radar or something like that. And then I also am involved in a Sunshine Club in my kids' old elementary school. And Dora from Sunshine Haven's going to be on in August.
Oh, that is great. Dora hasn't been on our show, and she's fabulous. She really
is. She is so great.
And Mary Rothman, who started it initially, was a really good friend of mine. Sorry that she's gone.
Yeah, me too.
So what are some of the things that you've found that are going on that you've been sharing with people here in the Heartbeat?
A lot of cool stuff for kids, elementary, high school especially, and young adults. Actually, everyone in the family can benefit, really, from all the things that are going on in our local churches. And that's what makes it really special, too, is it really is multi-generational. But Mapleview Baptist has some cool stuff for their high schoolers. Yeah. And we have some cool stuff for our high schoolers, too. But there are different seasons for each churches, too, where they're focused on different things. And so just a lot of cool stuff going on.
You know, what I found interesting too, and we talked a little bit about the incredible importance of the unity of the churches, not competing and not struggling over growing or whatever, but each church has a different calling and personality and strength. Mm-hmm. Dr. Jeremiah is an incredible Bible teacher. Mm-hmm. He's got an international reach, and that's not Foothills. Foothills is definitely not that. We're children and youth, and other things too, of course.
Yeah.
Rock Church, big church, serves the city. And then so many of smaller churches, because churches come in all shapes and sizes, are having incredible impacts.
Yeah.
Roland Slade was on the show, and what he did with tiny houses and the things that he does. It's just amazing. Like Kaleo.
Yeah.
Tell them a little bit about Kaleo. You had Tim on your show, right?
Yeah.
So explain Kaleo, because this isn't some big mega church and all of that.
No, not
but,
at all.
But an incredible calling of God and what they've been accomplishing. And I don't even know how long they've been around now. It's been a long time.
Yeah, since, I don't know, 15, 18 years, something like that. So, yeah, Tim was just driving around and he thought, you know what? Downtown El Cajon would be a good place to start a church. And look at all these homeless people. They need somebody to minister to them. So that was a focus at the beginning. And now they have all these young families, and it's just so alive and vibrant. And we love it that they get to use the church building, because it's such an iconic building in downtown El Cajon. It's beautiful. And there's ample room for a medium-sized church there, and they're busting at the seams. We have a nice little nursery that they're using, and that we don't have a lot of little ones at our church right now, this season of not a lot of babies being born yet. So I'm still hoping. I'm hoping for that grandbaby.
Grandbabies.
Yeah. But he and his family and their other pastors there, they're a real presence in the community.
Yeah.
And they still minister to homeless, and they are, they minister to their young families, and it's just wonderful to see how they've grown too.
Yeah. I remember when they first started, and Tim and I got together and Drew Goodmanson. And I remember Tim decided he needed to really identify with the homeless. And so he just spent nights on the street. It may have even been a week. I can't remember. I don't know. And I want people to go to your podcast so that they can understand those flavors. When I walked into First Baptist for the very first time, long time ago, and I think it was to meet with Kevin just to say hi. It was long ago. Mm-hmm. I just felt the presence of God. This is a church. And I thought about all of the stories, all of the prayers and the answer to prayers, and what a community can do when they just say, okay, God, what do you want? And it just becomes a family. And these days, people need family. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
On your podcast, have you run into bumps in the road and stuff like that? Have there been some challenges so far?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. You have a podcast publishing site. There's 30 to choose from now. Yeah. And I was like, which one do you use? Okay, I'll go with that one. And
shout out to Captivate.
Yes, Captivate has been great. Although I was like, how come I'm not on the podcast platforms? How do I get it to distribute? I found out that the one hitch in the giddy up was my picture. I needed to post a picture first before it would be distributed. Yeah. And you would think that I would love that part because I'm artistic. I like photographs and I've been practicing my calligraphy even. But I'm like, oh my goodness, I have to come up with a picture. And so anyway, I found some cool little editing tools on my iPad and went to work. And so now it's distributed too. And it's got a cool little picture next to the link. Go figure. But I was like, the one thing that was holding me up was a picture.
See, the thing for me, I am incredibly spoiled. Okay, so what I do is I set up the interviews. So I call the people and I know a million people. So that's cool. And people will, like I did with you, oh no, you've got to speak to Anna Marie. Oh no, you got to speak. So there's just so many. So I do that part. And then I come in and sit down and talk and have conversations with people. I had a producer for the first year, like your daughter, mm-hmm. and she just handled all of the mystery with Matt Hall from the very, very beginning. So nice. This stuff that you're figuring out,
yeah.
I didn't have to. And
so
I'm spoiled.
Thankful. I'm so thankful for YouTube how-to videos. Oh, that's been such a godsend. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to type in how-to and then fill in the blank of whatever the next thing was.
Really nothing you couldn't learn to do with YouTube.
Yeah.
You could perform surgery if you needed to.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I have found that to be the case with Matt Hall. Hey, Matt, what? And it's already done. Except today was there's a little craziness.
Yeah?
Yeah, he texted me and said, I'm locked out of the studio. Matt, this is your studio. How do you get locked out of the studio? There's an electronic lock and he just had to throw some batteries in.
But oh, it was like, phew.
But I didn't have any batteries. So it was a big deal at the moment.
Where did you find the batteries at?
In a remote control.
Oh, that no longer has batteries in it.
No longer has batteries. It'll need to replace. Yeah.
That does remind me of another little hiccup we had. We have our little small room has a really cool new, because it's all new. It has a brand new wall AC unit. The remote, you can only turn it on by the remote, and it didn't have batteries. So I had to borrow some batteries from another remote in another room. And so we were able to have the air on. Thank goodness.
See, guys, you think it's all easy to do this, and it's not that easy. Unless the Lord's calling you to do it, then he will provide. I want to know a little bit more about you personally.
Okay.
So a couple of questions. First off, how long have you been a Christian? How did that start, and tell me that story.
Okay. I was raised in a non-Christian home. We had Ouija boards and Buddhas in my home, but my grandparents were devout Lutherans, and I would spend a lot of time with them, and whenever I would go to church, it would be with them. And I know that my grandma was praying for me. When I moved from Thousand Oaks to San Diego, I know that her prayers got ramped up for sure, because any school I went to, I had a new friend who would invite me to their youth group.
Yay.
And my friend Sandy that I met at Cajon Valley Junior High in eighth grade, she said, why don't you come to church with me? And I was like, okay. And her grandma would drop her off. I would spend the night at her house and her grandma would drop us off and we'd go to Sunday school and church. And then I went to a youth event where they played this old hokey left behind type of movie called A Thief in the Night. I think it was produced in the 70s.
Yeah, I know that one, A Thief in the Night, for sure. That is the 70s.
Yeah, so it was a huge youth event. It might have been after a camp, actually, a high school camp. And so all the kids from San Diego went to this one church to watch this movie. And I had never heard that Jesus was coming back again.
Whoa.
And I was like, how did I miss this little nugget here? And I remember talking to one of my neighbors before that event going, I've always believed in God, but I don't know about Jesus. I'm not sure about Jesus. Mm. And when I saw that movie and my friends were on both sides of me and I was like, Jesus is coming back again? And I never knew that. And they're like, you better go forward, huh? And I'm like, yeah, I better go forward. I want to be on Team Jesus. If he's coming back again and I'm not on his team, I'm going to be in trouble. So I went forward and dedicated my life to the Lord that night at A Thief in the Night at Windsor Hill Baptist Church in La Mesa, which is called The Hills now. And I was so excited and I was inviting everyone to youth group and to church then. But then I got in the world a little bit in the middle of high school and tried to have one foot in the world and one foot at church. Like I'd be out with my, because my parents were very liberal. They let me do whatever I want pretty much. And so I would go out dancing with my friends until 4 a.m. and then I'd go to church at 9:30 or
and this
whatever.
Is in high school. That yeah. is really stretching the day.
Yes. So like as soon as I got a car when I was 16, I was a wild child. And then that, thank goodness, that only lasted for a year and no serious injury or incident happened during that time. But I remember thinking, I can't have this double life. And I committed to the Lord that day that I would, and I was boy crazy too. So I said, I'm not dating. I'm not going out. I'm not going to TJ anymore. That was the big thing back in the day. Yeah. And I would not recommend that now. It was in the 80s. It was a little safer then. Not super safe, but a little safer. But I'm okay. God, I got to finish my senior year and I just want to give it to you now. Mm-hmm. And actually there was an incident where I went with my friends to the river and that could have ended up very poorly. I put myself in a predicament and God got me out of that unscathed. Mm-hmm. Thank God. And so after that, I was like, okay, God, that was too close and I just need you now. And so I'm just committing the rest of my life to you. And I was able to graduate. I went to San Diego State and I got in an intervarsity group then. Yeah. And I had some great Christian friends at church still. And the college career group was pretty vibrant at that time. And my now husband and I hung out for about a year in this college career group and the love bug just crawled up and bit me one day. And I think it might have been my same friends that said I better go forward to receive Jesus. I think they said, you better go out with this Michael Sensenet guy.
You go, and I want to be on team. What's his name?
Michael.
Team Michael.
Yes. We started dating and got married in our church. And he worked in Orange County at the time that we got married. And so we lived in Murrieta for about a year while I went to San Diego State and he worked in Orange County. And then he got a job in San Diego. And then I transferred to CSU San Marcos. But I wanted to really make my college years a mission field too. Yeah. So I really loved that atmosphere of people who were skeptical of yeah. Christianity and seeing something different and me being able to speak some truth into their life. Some seeds were sown yeah. and you never know, but that was my point of view. Like I wanted to be in the public university so that I could make a difference for Christ there. And so anyway, but I wasn't sure about having kids. So Michael said that he always wanted to be a godly husband and father. And I was like, oh, godly husband, I'll take that. Not sure about the kids thing. And so we had been married about 6 years and my sister had a baby. And he was just the cutest thing. And I was like, dang. And she's a single mom, and I'm like, I helped her choose life in that. And I was like, boy, if she could do it, yeah, maybe, you know.
How hard could
that
be?
How hard could it be? All right, maybe. We'll try it.
So did you have a rascal, a real tough one to raise up?
You know what? My first two were pretty easy, I have to say. The third one, though, I cried for a year. Solid. And I was like, I think three is a good amount of kids to have now.
I've told my kids, keep having them until you get a rotten one. Just keep going. Right? I've got my 22nd grandchild just was born. So they have fabulous little humans.
Yeah, that's so great. I can't wait for that because my husband and I are so blessed. All of our boys love the Lord, mm-hmm. love each other, serve the Lord. Wow. The one that's married has picked such a godly woman and who they were high school sweethearts. So she's kind of like my own daughter now. And we're just so blessed, so blessed.
It's just something that's not to be taken for granted. It's the same way with my kids and Matt's kids as well. It's in 3 John, it talks about, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. And yes. That is, since I had kids, that's my favorite verse, because it can go very differently. And then you're brokenhearted over the horrible decisions and the consequences that kids are walking through. And some of that is by being in Christian community. It isn't everything, because they're going to make their own decisions, but by modeling it and for them to see it, then there's a much greater chance, you know, that they're going to know the truth and walk in it, and it's going to be incredible.
And prayer, a lot of prayer.
A lot of prayer, yeah.
A lot of prayer.
I think you were talking about your grandma praying for you, and I remember my grandma stopped praying for me and then started praying about me, because I was, like you said, just bouncing all over the place and not being faithful to what I knew to be true and all of that. So grandmas are a powerful force.
Oh, yeah.
God, I think he just listens to them.
Yeah, that's one of my paraphrased verses. The prayers of a righteous grandma are powerful and effective.
They really are. Truth. Mm-hmm. And so our podcast is based on 1 Peter 3:15 about sharing Jesus and doing it with gentleness and respect. And the people that are in your story, okay, there are grandmas listening, guaranteed. Shout out to all the grandmas. And they're faithfully praying when their granddaughter was in a little messy situation with Ouija boards and all of that going on. Also, that grandma that picked you up with your friend and friends. Isn't it amazing that kids find it so easy to say, hey, you should come to church with me, but adults are terrified to do it? Yeah. Oh my gosh, what would happen if I invited somebody to church? And 97% of the people that go to church is because somebody invited them. Mm-hmm. That's an easy peasy way to share Jesus with people.
Amen. Absolutely.
And your experience on the college campus, I don't know if you heard the episode with Heather Holloman, who I'm a raving lunatic fan about. She wrote the book Sent and some other great books, kids' books, and just, she's fabulous. But she was a professor. And on a campus and saying, God, use me. What do you got for me? And I will just share you, because you're insanely cool and powerful and God. Mm-hmm. And so you never know, with all the seeds that you were able to plant, there's somebody who's got their side of the story. Yeah, there was this girl named Nikki. Yep. And she just shared this with me. And hopefully you get to see it. You get to hear it.
Yeah, you never know.
I want to know what God's teaching you right now, in this season that you're in. What is he speaking to you? What is he working in you? What's going on with you and him right now?
Oh gosh, so much. Just how blessed it is to just be obedient. And I've been really, last summer we had a pipe break and we had to remodel most of our house, which was such a blessing too.
Really?
It was the perfect timing, and I really wanted a new kitchen. I didn't know I'd get a new bathroom and a new closet.
You didn't break the pipe on purpose, did you?
Okay, no, I didn't. It was 2 hours before we left for a trip for Scotland, and we just turned the water off and we're like, we'll deal with it when we get home. And
so it didn't break while you were gone. Praise
exactly.
God.
Exactly. Yes. So we noticed it before we left, and then an insurance paid for a good chunk of it. But I was very distracted last summer. Like, I had so much organizing for the remodel and shopping and all of that. And it seemed like I drifted a little bit from the Lord last summer. Mm-hmm. And during the year, I have some great ministries that I'm involved in. So I'm close to Jesus during that time. But the summers are always a little, okay, Lord, since I don't have that structure, I really need to just spend some time. And so I've really been making it a point to have some good quiet time with the Lord.
Right on.
And how God weaves things together. My youngest son, the one that cried all the time, he's now the youth pastor at our church.
Wow.
And crying less frequently. Oh my gosh, he's so loving. Mm. He's the one that gives me and Michael hugs all the time. And we just love him so much. And he also golfs with Michael too, which is just a little bit more endearing. But I get to help him out with youth group. And he was talking about Cain and Abel the last couple of weeks. And just for some, and the kids in our youth group are they're very solid. They're very rooted. Most of them are homeschooled or go to Christian school, and they just know. They know what's up. They've been saved for a couple of years already, at least. And they're just really, they're a deep group of kids. Mm. And it's so cool just to see Jonathan pouring into the kids and them really receiving it. And they know that Jonathan loves them and loves the Lord. And they, it's just been great. The lesson about Cain and Abel brought up something, like it mirrored some of my devotionals in the morning. And one of them, like I use a couple of different ones that are not related. One, I'm not even on the day that you're supposed to be on. Gotcha. I would read that one and then read another one. And they were all about repentance. And I was like, okay, I've had some conviction, you know, before. But I'm like, I don't know what do I need to repent of? I'm like, I'm not aware of anything. I haven't had any of that conviction. I also am in a Moms in Prayer group that breaks for the summer too. And part of Moms in Prayer is a confession time. And I hadn't had that for a while. And during the confession time, we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal anything in our heart or mind that we need to just confess and repent of so that God can just really use us to pray for our kids. Mm-hmm. And so I hadn't had that like deep, that pinpointed confession time in a while. And I was like, okay, I just went back to that. Holy Spirit, reveal anything in my heart or mind that I need to confess. And I was convicted that I had a murderous spirit, a murderous attitude towards some people. And I was like, oh God, I don't want that.
Yeah.
And even towards myself. And I was like, oh no, I don't want that. I repent of that. That's not of you, God. You're of life and joy and peace. And I don't want to be like Cain. I definitely don't want to be like Cain. So that was very interesting, but
so powerful.
Yeah, it also encouraged Jonathan too, because he's just being led by the Holy Spirit on what to go through with the kids at youth group. And I was like, that was really cool because God used that in my life. I know he's going to use it in the kids' life.
Yeah, it just weaves together.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. Okay, two things. I want everybody to listen to your podcast. So it's Heartbeat
of East County.
And it's everywhere. You'll find it because now you put a picture up. So
that's right.
There. Okay. And also, I really want to encourage people. First Baptist is a great church.
It is.
You know what? If somebody who's listening is not going to church, like you said, a foot in, a foot out, or they've COVID knocked them out for 3 years, go find that community. Go plug into that. And if I can, I would like to pray for you and your podcast.
Oh, yes, please. That would be amazing. Right thank on. You.
Father, thank you so much that this is a great big family and that together we can encourage, support, and be after your purposes where you've planted us here in East County. And I just ask, Lord, that this would be a contagious spirit for the people that are listening all over the place, that they would understand that the unity of the church, the unity of the brethren is so critical to accomplishing your purposes, and that they, the world would see how we love each other and know that the Father sent the Son. Mm. Mm-hmm. We love you, Lord. Bless that podcast and what you're doing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.